Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Can you believe today is March? We're already through the first 2 months of the year. Can you believe that Wednesday is Lent? Lent starts. That means Easter is in 43 days. And we want to be praying for that. This is the greatest Easter that Radius has ever encountered, that more people come to know Jesus this Easter season. And really, to do that, one of the things we need to do is to be a people of prayer. I find it interesting, when Jesus described his house, the place of worship, he didn't say, let it be a house of worship, a house of teaching, a house of discipleship, a house of evangelism, or even a house of fellowship. And yet, those are the things that we tend to spend the most time on: worshiping God, learning and growing in the Word, fellowshipping with one another, having special evangelistic events. But Jesus said, let my house be a house of prayer. And a lot of times our prayers consist of something we do over a special segment like Leadership U, or maybe after a word or at the close of a service. And the time that we devote to prayer as a corporate body is very minimal compared to all the other activities. And I really believe, I've heard church growth experts say that prayer, corporate prayer, not just personal prayer, but prayer as a body, is the engine that drives the church forward. Corporate prayer, us agreeing together. And so over Lent, on Sundays, I'm encouraging you to come to church a half hour early, right here in the sanctuary from 9:30 to 9:45. We're going to be praying for our Easter service, praying for the people that you're going to be inviting, praying for your unsaved family, unsaved friends that need to know Christ, praying for God to anoint the service. And for the next 6 Sundays, pray for 15 minutes. You say, well, that's not a lot of time, but hey, that's a lot more than what we're doing right now. And so I want to encourage you, join us, partner with us these next 6 weeks at 9:30 to 9:45, all right? How many will at least consider that? And now, you know what? That's going to be tough next week because you spring forward. So that's an hour and a half of sleep you're going to lose, all right? So that means you got to go to bed at 8:30 if you normally go to 10, or 10:30 if you go to bed at midnight. So just prepare for that, all right? All right. How many have ever played the board game Monopoly? Many of you have. What most people don't realize is the game of Monopoly almost never came into existence. That's because in 1935, Charles Darrow, when he brought Monopoly to Parker Brothers, the experts at Parker Brothers rejected the game for 52 fundamental errors. 52. And so what Darrow did is he went out, and after a year of rejection, Parker Brothers invited him back in because he took that year to go out and sell board games by himself. And it was such a big seller, it got Parker Brothers' notice. And they came and says, all right, we want to fund this. Monopoly today is the third best-selling game of all time after chess number one and checkers number two. Over 275 million copies have been sold since 1935. There are over 1,500 different Monopoly games that have been made, including Hello Kitty, Space Jam, multiple Star Wars versions, including Boba Fett and Mandalorian, The Office, AC/DC, Dr. Seuss, Yellowstone, the TV series, Shark Week, Britney Spears, and Charlie Brown Peanuts. Monopoly's been played by over 1 billion people in 113 countries, translated into 46 languages. More Monopoly money is printed in a year than U.S. currency is printed in a year. $30 billion of Monopoly money is printed annually versus $974 million of real money, not even a billion. As of 2014, 6 billion little green Monopoly houses were produced, enough to circle the globe almost twice. All of that has happened because one man refused to quit. He said, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to press on and keep going through. I'm glad you've joined us today as we are continuing our series on the book of Joshua, where we're looking at the faithfulness of God in the book of Joshua. The faithfulness of God is our theme for 2025, and to the title of today's message is Faithful to Establish. God is faithful to establish. Take a look at your worship program this morning, the notes section. It says in your notes, God is faithful to establish his kingdom in us and through us. That's internal leadership and external leadership right there. He's faithful to establish his kingdom in us and through us as we are faithful to fight. God is faithful to use us to build his kingdom, to be the church, that word we had about here, the church that ministers to the body and that helps all people find and follow Jesus. We do that. God can do that in us and through us as we are faithful to fight. Five things that we're going to take a look at this morning. Number one in your notes, God is just as faithful in the mundane as he is in the miraculous. God is just as faithful in the mundane as he is in the miraculous. So far, we've covered the first nine chapters of Joshua, and we've seen a variety of topics. In Joshua chapter 1, Moses dies. God calls out Joshua, says, I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to be with you as I was with Moses. He says, don't fear. Fear not. He says, don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Chapter 2, Rahab hid the spies. Chapters 3 and 4, Israel crosses the Jordan River. God opens it up for them at flood stage, and they go across on dry ground. In chapter 5, Israel recommits to the Abrahamic covenant. They're circumcised, celebrate the Passover, and the commander of the Lord's army appears to Joshua. In chapter 6, the walls of Jericho fall. Rahab and her family are saved. In chapter 7, Israel is defeated by the little teeny tiny town of Ai. Achan's theft is revealed as the result of that was the cause of the fall of Ai, and his sin is judged. In chapter 8, Israel now defeats the city of Ai. In chapter 9, the Gibeonites deceived Israel into making a treaty with them. That's what we've covered so far. As we come to chapter 10 today, this shares the very last miracle in the book of Joshua. You don't realize it. And by the way, we're covering chapters 10 through 22 in this message. All right? Now, I'm not going to read all the chapters today, but maybe you'd like to read them this week. A lot of it is about God establishing Israel in the promised land, establishing his kingdom of Israel in the promised land. And in chapter 10, it's the last miracle where the sun and the moon stand still so that Joshua can defeat his enemies. After the Gibeonites tricked Joshua and the children of Israel into making a covenant with him, they says, we're from a country far, far away. And God said, you need to destroy all the idol-worshipping pagans who don't want to repent. You need to get rid of them. Well, they made this covenant. What takes place is that five kings of the Canaanites, they come together and attack Gibeon for making that. We're going to pick it up in verse 1 of chapter 10. It says, it came to pass when Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, Israel does not have Jerusalem at this time. It's in the hands of foreigners. When Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had taken Ai and utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and its king, so he had done to Ai and its king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they greatly feared because Gibeon was a great city like one of the royal cities. And because it was greater than Ai and all of its men were mighty, therefore Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent to Hoham, king of Hebron, Piram, king of Jarmuth, Japhia, king of Lachish, and Deber, king of Eglon, saying, come up to me, help me, that we may attack Gibeon, for it's made peace with Joshua and the children of Israel. So these five kings attack Gibeon, and Gibeon cries out, hey, help! You made a covenant. Come and defend us. And so Joshua now, up to this point, he's only fought one king at a time, the king of Jericho, the king of Ai. Now he's facing five kings. And God gives him a message that a lot of us need to hear today. It's found in verse 8. When the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you." There's some of you here today, you might feel outnumbered by your circumstances. You might feel like the odds are stacked against you. And we read that verse earlier in the service about that anyone who wants to come to God, they must believe he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You might feel like, man, he's not rewarding me. I'm seeking him, but nothing's happening. And you're doubting God. You need to hear the words, "Do not be afraid. Be strong, be courageous, for the Lord your God is with you." I don't know what you're experiencing today, whether you're here in the house or you're watching us online, but I want you to know that you can trust God with everything. He is faithful. They lost to little Ai, but now he's going to fight five kings, but with God, all things are possible. How many know that all things are possible with God? So Joshua, he has his people march all night to do a surprise attack on these five kings. And picking up in verse 12, Joshua spoke to the children of Israel in the day when the Lord delivered the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon and moon and the valley of Ajalon." And so the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Joshua doesn't realize it, but that's going to be the last miracle that God does for him. At least it's the last miracle that's recorded in Scripture. We do not read of any others through the rest of the book. It's the very last miracle. No more flooding, rivers drying up and becoming a highway so millions of people can cross over. No more walls falling down. No more suns and moons standing still. From here on out, it's just a dogfight. Day after day after day of fighting battles to take the land of Canaan. And it's not that he loses these battles. No, he wins every single one. But still, he has to fight them. He can't just sit back and let the walls fall down. He has to fight, pick up the sword, go out and lead Israel. And the thing is, he tells us in chapter 10, verse 28 to 42, there's the southern conquest. He goes on and conquers all the cities in the south because they hit it in the central part where Jericho was. They first go to the south, then they go to the north in chapter 11. Chapter 12, it says that Moses conquered two kings. It kind of recounts all the kings. And it has Joshua conquering this many. We see in verse 7, these are the kings of the country which Joshua and Israel conquered on this side of the Jordan on the west. Verse 24, all the kings, 31. Can you imagine 31 different battles he had to fight? That's a lot of fighting. You say, how long did it take? We're going to read in a little bit how Caleb was 40 the first time he spied out the promised land, and then the spies said, no, we can't take it. And he had to wait, and we're told in Deuteronomy 2:14, you might want to write that down, Deuteronomy 2:14, it took Israel 38 years from the time they left Kadesh, when they were first going to go into the promised land, until they crossed over the valley of Zered. That was when they were going to go against the kings of Moab and Edom on the east side of the Jordan River. It was 38 years. So that makes Caleb 78 years old. Then in Joshua 14:10, Caleb says he's 85 years old. That means Joshua had to fight battles for 7 years. When we read those quick chapters there, chapters 10, 11, and 12, 31 kings, we think it was just a short amount of time. Friends, it's 7 years. That means if we started fighting today, we'd be fighting till 2032. 7 years ago was 2018, 2 years before COVID. That's a long time to fight. And Joshua had to keep fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting to see the kingdom established. You see, God is just as faithful in the mundane battles as He is in the miraculous, as when He opens the Red Sea, or He opens the Jordan at flood stage, or as when the walls come tumbling down. God is faithful in the miraculous and in the everyday mundane. And there are some of you here this morning, you are weary, you're tired of fighting battles, but God will establish His kingdom in you and through you if you continue to fight. He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Let's look at point two this morning. Number two, receiving all God has for us. If you want to receive all that He has for us in His kingdom, it requires our total reliance on God. It requires our total reliance on God. By the way, I skipped a blank. Life is full of battles. Are you in it for the long haul? Okay, I just satisfied all the melancholies who had to get that blank filled in. Are you in it for the long haul? You got to be in it for the long haul. Okay, number two, receiving all God has for us requires our total reliance on God. Joshua 13, verse 1. Joshua was old, advanced in years. The Lord said to him, "You are old and advanced in years, and there remains very much land yet to be possessed." This is after 7 years of fighting. "This is the land that yet remains, all the territory of the Philistines and all of that of the Geshurites." Now, Israel never took the land of the Philistines until when? Until a shepherd boy named David killed Goliath, and then over a decade later becomes a king. That's when they take the land of the Philistines. And the land of the Geshurites was in the northern part of Israel, Assyria. They never took that. But God told them to take it, but they never did. And when you read the following verses, verses 3, 4, and 5, it lists a lot of other land, a lot of other peoples that some of them they never took, including verse 6, when it says, "All the inhabitants of the mountains from Lebanon, as far as them as the brook of Mizrephath, and all the Sidons, them I'll drive out before the children of Israel, only divide it by lot to Israel as an inheritance." My question is this: why did God say, "I'll drive them out," but the Israelites never drove them out? Why did they not have victory? Did they become complacent? Did they get a little bit of their inheritance and say, "You know what? This is good enough. I don't want to fight. I don't want everything God has in store for me"? Or maybe they looked at their talents, their abilities, and they looked at the talents, the abilities, the fortifications of their enemy, of their opponents, and says, "You know what? We don't measure up. We can't do that." And they relied on themselves instead of relying upon God. And here's the thing. If you want everything God has for you, if you want to receive all the blessings, all of the kingdom influence, we talked about at the beginning of the year in our very first message, New Beginnings, God has new ground. He wants each of us to take for Him. For us to take all of the new ground, we have to be a people that rely on God. A few weeks ago, we talked about the key to obedience is total reliance on God. That's also the key to receiving all God has for us. That's total reliance upon God. All right, let's look at point number three this morning. God is not limited by our limitations. God is not limited by our limitations. We're going to see this in the life of Caleb. Caleb is one of the 12 spies who originally went into the promised land decades before. And now Caleb goes to Joshua, and in verse 7 he says, "I was 40 years old." Everybody say 40 years old. "When Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, I brought back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren," that's the 10 spies who gave the bad report saying, "We're like grasshoppers in the sight of these giants." He said, "My brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me safe," he said, "these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke his word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Now here I am this day, 85 years old, yet I'm as strong this day as the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. He says, I feel the same when I go out to battle, and after I've fought them all and I come back in, it's not, ugh. Well, he says, I came back in like a 40-year-old. Yeah. I'm turning, what is it? What am I turning this year? 57. Thank you, honey. You kind of forget these things, you know. I'm not even 60, and I know I don't feel anywhere near I did at 40. I was 42 when we moved here. I remember when I was 40, I could beat my son in all sports, in basketball. You know, it's like, you know, you go easy on it, but I was faster than him, quicker than him, stronger than him. Not anymore. I mean, he is a Hulk, and it's like, yeah, I'm not going to wrestle you now, Paul. But Caleb, he says, man, I haven't lost a step in 45 years. Because Caleb knew that God is not limited by our limitations. It doesn't matter your physical condition, your talents, your skills, your abilities, your connectedness, your lack of connectedness. It doesn't matter your health. It doesn't matter your resources. It doesn't matter your education or your background. If you grew up on the wrong side of the tracks or the right side of the tracks or on the tracks, it doesn't matter. God's not limited by the things that we would call a limitation. So we've got to be willing, totally rely on the Lord to say, God, I want to take the new ground you have for me. I want to be your church that influences my community, my neighborhood, my workplace, my school. I want Radius. I want to help Radius influence its radius, helping all people find and follow Jesus. I'm praying that we are a church that does more than we ever have before. But it takes a people who say, I'm not going to look at what I have. Instead, I'm going to look at what God has and what God can do. And I'm going to totally rely upon Him and keep fighting through the mundane and the miraculous. Are you willing to be that kind of a person today? I hope so. I hope so. Let's look at the next thing. We see God showing us how to establish the kingdom in us and through this. And number four, sometimes we want an easy option when God wants us to stretch. Sometimes we want an easy option when God wants us to stretch. In Joshua 17, verse 14, it says, the children of Joseph, that would be the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, two of the largest tribes, they spoke to Joshua and said, why have you given us only one lot and one share to inherit, since we are a great people, inasmuch as the Lord has blessed us until now? So they're saying, we're great, we need more land. What's interesting is that they didn't take the land they were given. I want you to write this down, 17:12, Joshua 17:12, and then also 16:10. You go back just two verses to Joshua 17:12, and you'll see that Manasseh did not drive out the Canaanites from certain cities. God gave them land, they just didn't want to take on these tough people. And in 16:10, Ephraim did the same thing. They didn't drive out the Canaanites from certain cities. God gave them land, but they just wanted land that was an easy option. Hand it to me on a silver platter. I don't want to fight for it. I don't want to strain for it. And God says, I want you to stretch. And that's what Joshua said to them in verse 15. He answers them, I love this, if you are a great people, then go up to the forest country. Clear a place for yourself down. Can you imagine cutting down a forest with just axes? Not the technology we have today, but stone axes back then. He's saying, stretch yourself. He's saying, clear a place for yourself in the land of the Perizzites and the giants, since the mountains of Ephraim are too confined for you. But the children of Joseph said, the mountain country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who dwell in the land of the valley, they have chariots of iron, both of those who are of Beth Shean and its towns and those who are of the valley of Jezreel. They want land, but they're making excuses. We can't do this because there's chariots of iron. And Joshua spoke to the house of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, you are a great people. This time he doesn't say if. He's saying, you are a great people. and have great power. You shall not only have one lot, but the mountain country shall be yours. Although it's wooded, you shall cut it down, and its farthest extent shall be yours, for you shall drive out the Canaanites, even though they have iron chariots and are strong. God is saying, you need to stretch yourselves. You can do this, but don't opt for the easy way out. And sometimes as believers, we don't want to stretch. We don't want to grow. I applaud the leadership, you graduates. You went through a stretching experience. It was a time of growth, but you got to keep stretching. All of us need to keep stretching, because if we don't, we're going to stop growing as a leader. Next fall, I'm going to start my Master's of Organizational Leadership, because I want to grow as a leader. You see, if you want to get strong, you're not going to get strong by laying on a sofa, pressing video game controller buttons, eating Doritos and donuts. You get strong by laying on a bench, not a sofa, pressing weights instead of the controller, and eating healthy, protein-filled foods. But it's a whole lot easier to sit on the sofa with your Doritos, your donuts, and Call of Duty than it is to get up early in the morning and hit the weight room. And then to discipline yourself and say, I'm going to be a lean, mean weightlifting machine. And friends, God wants us, His church, not to be wimpy warriors, but mighty warriors that are powerful and strong. But we've got to be disciplined. We have got to be people that say, God, I'm willing to be stretched by you, not be complacent, but I'm willing to go out of my comfort zone. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid. Some of us are timid about growing, about being stretched. But the Spirit God gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Self-control, it's a fruit of the Spirit. If we're going to be great people of God, we need to walk in self-control, self-discipline, and be willing for God to stretch us. Proverbs 25:28 says, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. You could say they're like Jericho. They fall, they're weak, they're defeated. How about you? Do you shrink from hard things? We become strong through seasons of stretching. There are some of you, you're avoiding stretching. What has God said to you that He wants you to do in 2025? What new ground does He want you to take? Are you willing to stretch for it and grow for it? I pray you are, because that's where Christianity becomes an adventure. That's where it becomes exciting. All right, let's look at the final point here. God knows what we need when we need it. God knows what we need when we need it. Some of the tribes still had not received their allotted inheritance. In fact, it was seven of them. Joshua has each tribe select three men. He says, go out and survey the rest of the land that have not apportioned to the other five tribes. And you guys survey it, divide it up into seven pieces, and then bring it back to me. And take a look what he says in Joshua 18, verse 6. Survey the land in seven parts. Bring the survey here to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. He said, there's seven parcels you're going to make up, and then we're going to cast lots. God's going to determine what parcel of land each tribe gets, because God knows your talents, your abilities, where you're going to fit best. Who's going to be best living by the sea to be fishermen? Who's going to be best in mountain countries? Who's going to be best down in the plains and farmland? God knows what you're going to need, and God will apportion you there. In other words, you need to trust in the sovereignty of God. When you don't know what God is doing in your life, you have to trust that He's in control, that God knows best. Job 42, verse 2 says, and remember, Job is going through intense suffering in this time. He says, I know that you, God, can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. Job knew that God was the boss. He was the king, and he could start something, and he could stop something, And whatever the thing God is stopping or starting, there is a purpose, there is a reason behind it. And Job trusted God. Can you trust God with what you're going through right now? I don't know what you're going through. Romans 8:28 says, all things, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. God wants to work everything for his good, his glory, for his gain and your gain if you simply trust him. God is faithful to establish his kingdom in you and through you as we keep on fighting. Let's pray this morning. Lord Jesus, oh, we see how you cared for Israel to establish them with hope, peace, and victory for your kingdom and your glory. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help us to rely upon you to establish us in your kingdom for your purposes and your glory. Oh, Father, be with us now. Give us faith to trust you. I don't know what you're walking through this morning, but I encourage you not to quit. Maybe you're weary, you're tired of fighting battles, saying, God, when is it going to stop? Friends, God's faithful in the mundane, just as he is in the miraculous. And even though you feel like you don't see anything spectacular happening, you're not reaping the harvest of the battles, being able to rest and settle into this promised land God has, don't give up. Keep fighting. Keep in the prayer. Keep in the word. Keep ministering. Keep giving. Keep connecting to the body, because you find support and care and comfort as you're part of the body of Christ. You need to not separate yourselves from the body. As Paul said, or the author of Hebrews said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. There's some of you here today, you're looking at your limitations. You say, I'm not talented enough, I'm not rich enough, healthy enough, whatever it is. Friends, don't let your limitations cause you to make excuses. Instead, listen to the Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? I'm going to rely upon God for everything. I want to receive all that God has for me, because he can do the impossible. Some of you are avoiding a season of stretching. You want to take it easy, but you know God's saying you need to exercise some self-control, some discipline. You need to stop sitting in the easy chair. You need to pick things up and be a strong warrior. There's others of you, you're doubting God's sovereignty. You really don't know. God, I don't think I need this. God, you've done me wrong. Wherever you're at today, if you're saying in this moment, okay, God, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep trusting. If that's you, no matter your situation, would you just lift your hand up this morning? I want to pray for you today. I see many hands up. Father God, oh, we lean upon you today. God, you see these struggles, these tribulations. Oh, God, you see the people that they came to church this morning, their hearts were in turmoil. They felt like they were in an ocean just being tossed to and fro. God, there's so much anxiety. God, some couldn't sleep last night. Some cried themselves to sleep. Lord Jesus, I pray right now for peace. Oh, you are the holy warrior. You are the commander of the Lord's army, Jesus. You are here. We need to get on your side. Help us to get on your side. I pray today that we will press into you, into your word, into prayer, into the work that you call us to do. We won't doubt. We'll keep on keeping on. We won't make excuses. We'll stretch ourselves. God, use us for your glory and your honor. God, I pray for a lightness today. You say, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Give rest. Give joy today. Oh, just give them joy, God. Let them wave their hands right now. I want you to wave your hands as a wave offering to God, saying, God, I'm thanking you for victory. I want you to stand to your feet this morning. I'm thanking you for victory today, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. There's some of you here this morning, and God wants to establish his kingdom in you through a relationship. You're not a follower of Jesus. You know that if you died today, you wouldn't go to heaven, and you need to give your life to Christ, accepting Jesus as your forgiver and also the leader. You're committing to him, surrendering to him. And if you're here with no one looking around, if you'd say, Craig, I want to become a follower of Jesus. I need to be saved from my sin. I'd like you to put your hand up this morning, and then you can put your hands down. Anyone, you'd say, I want to thank you. I see that hand there in the back. Anyone else, you'd say, I want to become a follower of Jesus. I want a relationship with Christ. I want to receive his love and forgiveness. Anyone else in the house? Those of you watching online, if God's speaking to you, just put your hand up wherever you're watching us. Anyone else here today, you'd say, that's me. I want to become a follower of Jesus. I need him to forgive me. I want him to lead my life. I'm going to say this prayer. I'd like each of you to repeat this after me. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I know you died to take away my sin. Forgive me. I surrender to you. I invite you into every corner of my life. I want your kingdom, you to rule and reign. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me and dying for me. I love you, and I'll live for you. Amen. Amen. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special people. He's called you out of darkness to proclaim his praises. This morning, God wants to establish his kingdom in us and through this. How many people say, I'm going to keep fighting? I'm not going to give up. Amen? Amen. All right.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.